Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very special episode of Podzilla 1985. I'm going to forego the usual intro this week because it hasn't sounded very good lately. I need a new intro. That's just the honest truth, Jesse Kimble.
I mean, people are coming back for that intro.
I like to think that, but the more I hear it, the more I think I could do so much better. The fans demand better. I can do better. I've been doing that intro for a year now. It's time to retire it. My original thought was, well, it's like George Norrie. Whenever he does the Coast to Coast intro, I'm going to have an intro that people will remember. The difference being is that his is good, and people remember it for good reasons.
And you still get tongue-tied on yours from time to time.
It's the way you say it. From the heart of
Broadway.
From the heart of Broadway here in downtown. See, I don't even remember it anymore.
From the heart of Broadway here in historic downtown Cape Girardeau.
See, I feel like
and that's even like the upbeat version.
Yeah, but I feel like a game show host, so we're not going to do that tonight. It's a very serious show. My name is Shannon Young. I'm your host, as always, here on Thursday nights, although sometimes not, and our sometimes not host of Thursday, and always host, except when he's not, sometimes, of Sunday, also co-owner of Podzilla 1985, except when he wasn't, but he is now, Jesse Kimble.
I followed most of that, actually, except for the part where you just started making up words.
Those are all words.
It's the whole, I know, but you know, but he doesn't know that she know that they know.
That's Lindsay. It's Lindsay Wolfgang. She's here, too.
Hi.
We're not calling this episode Tanner Thursday for reasons that you will see in the coming hour. A very important episode. Before we get to that, though, Billy's here. Billy's to the left of me. And Billy had a question for you. Why did you ruin his first episode?
Billy, I'm sorry. It's just, it was an issue that's never come up before. And I didn't catch it until after we had recorded.
He didn't know it until today. Because he asked me, he's like, did you listen to Sunday's show? And I was like, oh, yeah. And I had a smirk on my face. He knew something was wrong.
Oh, no.
Yeah. He was like, did Jesse mess it up? I'm like, no. Not on purpose.
Jesse did mess it up, though, because for the first time ever, Audacity defaulted to my laptop microphone instead of our actual soundboard. And as Shannon has discussed in the past, it's extremely difficult to notice the difference.
It is. When I look at because the way we record this stuff, you may have seen the pictures, but Jesse and I, when we're hosting, we sit at the head of the table, the discussion table, as we call it, the round table, even though it's very rectangular.
Clearly
not round. And we've got the laptop here next to us. The soundboard's hooked up through that. And you can see the waves of, you know, the voices and the levels.
It's Audacity. For those of you that have used Audacity, you can see live sound incoming.
Right. Which is nice. And when you have the laptop microphone on, it looks normal. Like, it looks normal, especially if you were talking as the host. And usually we base a lot of it on the host's voice because you're the one that carries it. And then you have other people do their sound checks to make sure they look good. And for the most part, it looks fine on there.
Yeah, and you just want to make sure they're within, like, a certain level of you.
Right.
And I know we're giving out all sorts of trade secrets here. Maybe we shouldn't.
Oh, yeah, we're the professionals
just,
over here.
They're just so cryptic.
Right? So, yeah, I mean, that's what we do. And it's surprisingly difficult to see the difference in just the laptop microphone. And I know what you guys are thinking. Well, I listened to that show, and Asa sounded really far away. Yeah, he did. I got nothing for that.
He's at the other end of the table. That's why he sounded the worst, because he was at the other end of the table. He's in the Jesse position right now. So the fact that you can hear Jesse so well shows you that, yes, we are going through mics and not through the laptop mic. So that's that, Billy. Big apology. We'll have Billy on again sometime.
Could you hear Billy? Because I honestly
couldn't. No, I listened to it. You could even hear Asa just fine. Like, yeah, Asa was kind of muffled and lower, but you could still make out everything he said. So there was no one on the show that didn't sound like you couldn't hear them.
Yeah, it wasn't like there was dead air because somebody was talking. Okay.
The worst of it was just that it sounded like you guys had one mic and you were all just crowded around it.
Honestly, because I tried to listen to it just to make sure that it was okay to keep on the internet, mm-hmm. because I was thinking about deleting it if, you know, it got really bad, but everybody kept saying it was okay. And as I was listening through it, I got tired of hearing myself clear my throat and, inhale through my nose because my nose was really stopped up.
Yeah.
I'm still kind of recovering from that, but
I've learned to not listen to my shows anymore. I can't stand the sound of my own voice. Cause then, you know, when I speak in my head, I sound so intelligent and I sound very regal. Once, Double H told me in one of the intros, I sounded like George Norrie. And I was very proud of that moment when he told me that. And now when I listen to myself over and over again, it's like, no, I don't. I sound like I feel nasally sometimes. I don't like it.
I just take everybody's word for it because everyone tells me that my voice sounds great. So
I would say you have the best voice of everybody on here. I know just about everybody else hates the sound of their voice on the show.
I mean, I don't like the sound of my voice. Like I said, I take everybody's word for it and I just assume like, okay.
You're your own worst critic.
Exactly. Like I'm wrong. There's no way that everybody is just lying to me. Surely someone would have told me by now. And I do appreciate that compliment.
And speaking of compliments, we get a big shout out to one of our new fans, or actually apparently a longtime fan, who just gave us a like on Facebook. If you want to give us a like on Facebook, go to facebook.com/podzilla1985. I'm probably going to butcher your name, so if you're listening, I apologize. Juan Antonio Loriano Resto?
Yeah, dude, your guess is as good as mine. Like, I'm also really bad at pronouncing names.
I am. So if I mess up your name, please forgive me. Send me a message, and I will apologize live on the air again. But he posted on our Facebook today and said, been a big fan of Nerd Up since I found you guys last year. Just listened to my first ever, Mr. 100 and the Five Star Man and loved it. Keep up the good work. Listener for life. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's stuff like that that really keeps us going.
It really does. Like that, people, we live off of compliments.
Yeah, we do. Oh my God. We're such attention whores.
We really are.
We are.
That's the only reason we're here.
Yeah. It's not, I mean, like, what do we say on this show that you guys don't get anywhere else? Nothing.
We bash on Dalton.
Get that in other places.
I mean,
oh, by the way, press start to join. You think we don't know what you're saying? We know.
Cause Dalton tells us everything.
Well, apparently they did our bit the other day, Jesse.
Which bit was that?
Where, they said, we can go long, we own the network. And they literally said, we stole that from Jesse and Shannon, but don't worry, they're not listening.
Oh,
but we know. And you picked Dalton. All right. I don't normally say this to people, but you can do better.
Aww. I have listened to a few of their shows. I definitely missed that one.
And I kid. I love Dalton. One day I'm going to give Dalton praise, but not today.
We all love Dalton. Mm-hmm. I know we give Dalton a lot of crap. We all love the guy.
We do.
Otherwise, we wouldn't have him here.
I wouldn't have asked him to come back I guess I didn't ask him to come back on PWU, but when he said he wanted to, I was more than happy to do it. And that's just the truth. So that out of the way, I'm not going to kiss Dalton's ass anymore. It just gives him a big head. He doesn't need it. He brags about himself all the time anyway.
He really does.
We do have some sad news just real quick to pass along. I read today that actor Miguel Ferrer, mm-hmm. I always mispronounce his last name, passed away from cancer at age 61. He was actually one of those guys that you see in a lot of movies. You don't always know who he is.
You Google him and you see a picture of him. You're like, oh, that guy. That guy's in everything.
Great in Hot Shots Part 2. And of course, RoboCop were the things that I saw him in the most. And I loved him in that. So Tanner posted when I sent the message to you guys, he said, it starts. 2017 is going to be a lot like 2016. Let's hope not. But damn, cancer.
Seriously, yeah. Stop taking people.
Big middle finger to cancer, as always. Okay, so what are we talking about tonight, Jesse?
I imagine we're talking a whole lot about the events that are taking place tomorrow afternoon.
Some people don't want us to talk about this. They don't want us to talk about this event. And I'm sorry, we have to. It's not often that we get to cover presidential inaugurations. I've never covered it for the paper. I've never covered it for my website ever. This is the first time we get to cover, and especially on Podzilla 1985. So we need to talk about it tomorrow, which if you're listening to this is today, unless you're listening to it to today, in which case tomorrow is tomorrow.
I love that bit so much. All right. For those of you that, haven't been listening for a while, there's a little bit of required viewing.
Mr. Show.
You gotta watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Mr. Show. It wouldn't hurt to watch a little bit of Aqua Teen.
Some Simpsons.
Definitely some Simpsons and a little bit of King of the Hill.
Yes.
Yeah.
And throw in some Community in there because there's a lot of Community fans
on the show. There is quite a bit of Community. So, yeah. But well, we don't bring up much Community in the show other than Donald Glover.
A lot of Donald Glover love. And Chevy Chase occasionally, but it's not usually love. And speaking of not usually love, Donald Trump becomes the 45th president tomorrow. Inauguration coverage is going to be all day on most news channels. I'll be watching it here at the store. I'll probably be watching CNN because it's generally the only
fake
network
news.
I can. It's fake, yeah, but I can at least watch it without being disgusted and wanting to throw up in my mouth.
That just means that we can prove that his presidency is fake. Because if they're airing it and they're fake news, then
what she got you there, dog?
What if I heard we can't say that anymore? I heard there was an agreement that we can't say.
Oh, I did forget about that.
I didn't know about the agreement. I said it four times yesterday. Well, yeah. It's funny you should say that, Lindsay, because I want to start this segment off by saying that, and I'm going to say this just directly to Mr. Trump, who is not listening, that Donald Trump does not deserve the presidency.
Mm-mm.
He didn't earn it. He's disloyal. He has no government experience.
No, he's completely loyal to Russia.
He's disloyal to the United States. He has no government experience. And he says whatever he has to at that moment to get whatever he wants. We've seen it through the election. He changes his story constantly to get the voters wherever he was at. And it worked.
He denies actual live evidence, like videos, tweets, recordings.
Says things that happened didn't happen.
And it's not like, it's not like one of those things where it's word of mouth. Like it's his word over someone else's. That's not the case.
No, it's
That's
his
what
mouth.
Drives me insane because he denies like active proof. All right. So we have this recording of you saying this. Well, I never said that. Mr. Trump, it's right here.
Wrong.
Look, this is, please, Mr.
Sad.
Trump.
Sad.
Mr. Trump, please.
Wrong. What drives me crazy about Donald Trump is that he says something, then he'll say another statement, and then he'll go back to the first statement. Like, if I was drinking this water and I was Donald Trump, I would say, I love this water. It tastes great. This water was made in, where is this made? It's made by Coca-Cola. I love it. It's great. He'll repeat the first thing he said after the second statement, and that drives me insane. Check every one of his speeches. He says it over and over again. He will come back to the same statement. He is one of the worst speakers, I think, that we've had as a president in ever.
I feel like that's probably somewhere in the art of the deal on speeches and public communication.
Repeat.
Repetition. Get your idea across.
It worked.
It sounds like something out of a self-help book.
It really does. He's president. However, his presidency is illegitimate. He will forever be tainted by his dishonest victory and shameful campaign, which will be a black eye on politics in America for a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
The way I like to say it, he'll have an asterisk. I mean, he won't. But
he should.
But he should have an asterisk next to his name.
Well, depending on how terrible this presidency goes, like, we may look at him as the worst president of all time. And the popular belief, I think, among Democrats is that if Republicans fail right now, then they are shot in the foot for life. Because this is the Republican show now. They've got control of the Congress. They got control of Senate. They've got control of the presidency. They own everything.
They've almost got control of the majority. Well, no, they do have majority states and governors.
They have Boardwalk, Park Place. They've got
Marvin Gardens.
They've got hotels and all of the
green and the blues.
Oh. Meanwhile, we're sitting over here with Baltic. I'm a Baltic guy, Jesse. Well,
I invested in Connecticut. I don't know why.
We went half on those hotels. They're not making us any money.
None. And the area ain't too friendly either.
If you forgot what Donald Trump did on his campaign trail, and I'm speaking specifically right now to Republican voters, which what the hell are you listening to us for? This is a party of turbo libs. I don't know if you have heard.
That's what I keep hearing.
That's what I keep hearing too.
Turbo libs.
Despite the fact that we have been so critical of Barack Obama's, some of his policies over the past 2 years, but whatever. I'll get whatever they want to believe.
Turbo libs.
That's fine. Turbo libs. But some of the broken promises that Donald Trump said that he got elected on and has immediately gone back on. I just want to just name a couple of them real quick. Remember when he said he was going to build a wall? He knows how to build walls.
Oh, he said that again at his acceptance speech, that he's going to build the wall.
He has. But his own team has told, I believe it was either CNN or Fox, that America is going to pay for the wall. That he's going to ask...
Wait, because he actually... I don't remember if it was him or just some member of his party that actually petitioned Congress.
Yes, for money.
For money to pay for the wall.
Yeah, because they want to build a wall when there's bridges across this country collapsing.
And then,
but the Mexicans can't get across those bridges, and that's the point. I don't know what they're thinking. But yeah, so not only is Mexico not paying for it, we're going to pay for it. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to send a bill to Mexico.
Well, let's be fair. The lower middle class is going to pay for it.
Yeah. And they're going to laugh at it.
Yeah, there's no way. So Mr. Trump and his team, who boasted about we're going to build a wall and they're going to pay for it. And people chanted, build a wall, build a wall. Like, that was the focus point of his campaign.
One of the biggest parts of it, yeah.
And because now he's flat out saying, no, we're not paying for it.
Because the whole thing is, like, a lot of his votes came from blue-collar America.
Yeah, which are sick of big government, who are sick of this and that.
And then the past 8 years, like, things have only gotten worse for them. And it's been... A lot of them blame Democrats because Democrats have been in office.
Well, not only that, but I want to say they hate progression. Like, a lot of those blue-collar workers, a lot of those, the conservative families, the ones that want things to make America great again. What make America great again means to a lot of people is take the rights away from gay people to get married. Make it where white Americans are the top of the food chain again. Because even though I'm not saying we're not at the top of the food chain now, because all of us are very white here on the show. There has been so much progression in the past 8 years since Barack Obama took the presidency that those people that are clinging to those old standards are terrified.
And honestly,
and Donald Trump is their beacon in orange.
And that's one of the things that people have been really outspoken about. True. But a lot of the votes for Trump came from these blue collar workers that are seeing their jobs disappearing rapidly to outsourcing. And the Democrats haven't, like, Hillary in any of her campaign, I think she briefly mentioned once, talking about blue collar workers, how her dad owned a small business and, you know, she was pro little guy.
Yeah.
For that kind of stuff. But she never, that I can, well, she didn't often talk about what she's going to do about the problem of outsourcing and the problem of just jobs in our current economy. And there's really not, Trump's plan for fixing that is terrible.
And what plan?
His plan
today?
The plan that he has as of right now is that he is going to reduce taxes and increase tax benefits for employing workers here in the States. So basically what the plan is to make them richer and make it easier to employ people in the U.S. so they don't have to outsource.
And you know,
trickle down doesn't work.
Correct.
But of course we want more jobs in the United States. It's not our position that we want to send our jobs to other countries.
No offense, but half of these jobs that people take, white people don't want.
I mean, that's true.
I mean, we as Americans. I'm
just saying in general.
But that's not even the jobs that people are talking about are going away. Like
the
a lot of the factory
stuff,
jobs.
Yeah.
A lot of those are the problem because it's so much cheaper to pay, like, these sweatshops in China.
Yeah.
Than to pay American workers a living wage. Especially a lot of those factory jobs are union. So they're mm-hmm. making way over minimum wage. They are making an actual living wage.
And I think that's what frustrates me the most about Donald Trump and his campaign. And we were very critical of Trump voters going into the election. And I'm still critical of them. But what frustrates me is that I truly believe that a lot of Republican voters that voted for Donald Trump voted for him in their mind.
Under false hopes.
For the right reasons, yeah. Under the hope that, well, our lives do suck and maybe he'll make it better. And what frustrates me is that he won't. You know, he doesn't care as much. He bamboozled all of these people who were desperate, who just want to do well, and he lied to them and tricked them, and now we're starting to see all of those campaign promises were just lies.
Yep.
Already. And he hasn't even taken the presidency yet.
Yeah, basically right now, he is, because I'm sure he knows if they don't completely abolish any sort of, like, ethics ramifications, like ethical ramifications, if they don't abolish that, then he will be out of this presidency within a couple of years, the way this trend is going, especially if all of his cabinet members get confirmed. Because it's extremely obvious to anybody paying attention that all of his cabinet picks are set up to make him a gross amount of money.
And we'll get to those cabinet picks here a little bit later in the show, because we do have that down. But you're absolutely right. Of the problem with the cabinet picks is that even if the Democrats don't vote for them, it doesn't matter. Because they can nominate and push them through without approval from the left. The right's got so much power. It doesn't matter. They can nominate, and all of these hearings are just for show. just for show. Does not matter.
Because the Democrats are asking, like, legitimate questions of all these cabinet members, and they're not able to answer them.
Oh, no, they answered them. And we've got some of those answers, and they are fantastic. I want to ask you about another thing.
They had
thing.
Responses. Let's be fair.
Remember this saying at the rallies, lock up Crooked Hillary? Lock her up, lock her up. As soon as Trump is elected, what's one of the first things he says? I'm not going to put Hillary Clinton in jail. I'm not going to investigate her anymore. Her family's been through enough.
And honestly, like he said, like that was him saving face a little bit, which I mean, for a lot of voters, that's not anywhere near enough, because the real problem is in jailing her, they don't have a case. Mm-hmm. The FBI said they don't have a case. The FBI said several times they don't have a case. The CIA said they don't have a case.
Yep.
Several different investigation teams said they don't have a case for Benghazi or the emails.
And despite the fact that James Comey, pretty much sabotaged the election for Hillary Clinton, because he did, despite the fact that he did that, he still didn't have a case. The entire reason, the reason she lost isn't because they have stuff against her. It's because
they made it look like they did.
Enough that you would think maybe we have something against her. And now that there's clearly nothing, Trump won. There's another campaign promise gone. He's not going to lock her up. He's not going to do a single thing to her. In fact, they'll probably be having dinner together next month if they haven't already. And then, of course, there's draining the swamp. He's going to drain the swamp.
Well, he drained it. He just didn't say what he was going to fill it with.
Toxins.
He didn't say what he was going to do with the alligators he found. He was just going to drain it.
Now, he's just like, they're just on display.
I mean, they're roaming in Florida.
Well, yeah, when he drained the swamp, all the alligators and snakes he found, Billy, he gave them cabinet positions. And that's how he takes care of them. All right. So that's, you know, Republican voters, again, I don't want to rub it in because you won. I can't rub it in. You won. But I think you're going to regret your victory very quickly.
Most of them
already are. World War III starts.
And that is not a shot against you. I am not taking a shot at Republican voters.
Nope.
You voted with your heart. And if more people had come out and vote in the right places, Hillary would be president, probably. Or she wouldn't have been, depending on Russia. Except nothing happened in Russia, but it did.
To be fair, they're...
Who knows anymore?
They're extremely confident that Russians did not do anything to the... Or that there was no hacking of the actual machines.
No, it was just propaganda and releasing documents to WikiLeaks and stuff like that.
Yep.
Which, by the way... I don't know the name of the guy. I should have researched this and put it on here because I heard about this, but I don't remember names. But it was either a senator or congressman who compared the Russian hacking of the DNC's emails and whatnot to the Democrats bringing out Latin stars in California, places that are very heavy on Hispanic people, and bringing them out to campaign for them. They said there's no difference. You're using a foreign actor to come on stage to get votes for your party. That's the same as Russia releasing those to get that. And everybody went,
No,
that's completely different.
Absolutely.
That is ridiculous. The ridiculous things that are coming out of these politicians' mouths these days. If you thought politics couldn't get any dirtier, you weren't ready for 2016.
No.
Better get yourself some hand sanitizer.
I mean, yeah, 2000, that's
them are some slimy snakes.
This is the dirtiest presidential election as far as I know, has ever happened.
This is the worst I can ever remember.
I mean, this is definitely the worst in our lifetime.
Yeah. And I can always remember seeing, you know, I hate politics season because then you start seeing all the commercials that are so negative toward each other and the mudslinging and stuff like that. And I always thought that would be the worst. I didn't know that anything like Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton could happen in America. I thought we were smarter than that and that we wouldn't stand for it.
Happening in France.
Really?
Yeah. Well, they've always been trendsetters.
They've got a female Trump that might actually take office in France.
World War III.
We'll see how it goes.
The inauguration is tomorrow, but before that, they had the big Make America Great Welcome Make America Great Again Welcome Celebration concert was tonight, which I'm assuming Donald Trump named himself, and what a terrible title that is. They held it at the Lincoln Memorial. I actually watched a little bit of it earlier, and it was...
Him lurking in the shadows in the background, right?
Well, it was either him or some kind of like...
robot?
Or I was going to say some kind of mud monster.
There was a tweet that I saw that was just fantastic because it was a picture of them setting up that concert. And they got a big jumbotron for this concert. And the tweet basically said, like, I don't think that any amount of words or any other picture could sum up Donald Trump's presidency better than this one. And it's the gigantic jumbotron covering up Lincoln in the Lincoln Memorial.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like nothing could possibly, no words.
Nothing could possibly
represent it better.
It was gaudy. And I told Lindsay this because we watched it here at the store with Ethan and Billy. And I remember asking him, you know, I've never watched a presidential inauguration before. Is this something they do? And it is. They do have these.
There's a celebration. There's a concert.
But I feel like Donald Trump's has to be gaudier than any one of them you've ever seen.
I'm pretty sure he's the first one with a Jumbotron. I might be wrong on that.
Well, I'll tell you what he did have. He had today's hottest artist, Toby Keith, and Three Doors Down.
To be fair, a lot of his voters are big fans of Toby Keith.
Oh, yeah. No, Toby Keith is a great musician.
But I don't think anybody's been a fan of Three Doors Down in well over 10 years.
I like some of their music.
Kryptonite.
I liked Kryptonite a lot.
Yeah, but name the last album you listened to from them. Because it's probably the one Kryptonite
album
was on. Kryptonite
I was about was to say, on. What album was Kryptonite on? Yeah. I know that was early 2000s.
I was in high school.
Jesse, you thought it was an SNL joke.
Real early 2000s.
Do what?
You thought it was an SNL joke.
The Three Doors Down bit? Yes, I did.
You also thought it was an SNL joke that he talked to Steve Harvey about a government position.
I did not think that was an SNL joke. Because it's not. I heard about that.
Yeah, that's real too. Three Doors Down said they're proud to do the concert. Of course they are.
They got a fat paycheck, and it's the first paycheck they've gotten in many moons.
Oh, to be fair, to Three Doors Down, you know, $400 and a bag of chips is probably a fat paycheck to them.
To be fair, I think they actually put out an album fairly recently. I know, like, we're joking here. I'm going to check on that while you make your next point.
Well, I was going to say, he got Toby Keith at Three Doors Down. Here's some people that literally turned down Donald Trump's request to perform at his inauguration concert. Elton John.
Yes.
There's a surprise.
Right?
Celine Dion. Another surprise. Garth Brooks. Another reason why I love Garth Brooks or Chris Gaines, whichever you prefer. So they got Toby Keith, but they couldn't get Garth Brooks. That's class. Kiss. It's kind of surprising. Moby.
Moby?
What's
Moby doing now?
Instead, they got a DJ like DJ Ramrod or DJ River Mud. I don't know what
DJ
his name
Ramrod.
Is.
DJ Ramrod.
I don't know what his name is. It's something.
Did they used to work the Highway Patrol?
All right. So real quick back to it. Yeah. Three Doors Down just released an album March of 2016. They released another album.
Striking While the Iron's Hot.
Yeah, they released another album in 2011. They had a Greatest Hits album hit on 2012. I'm surprised it's not just Kryptonite 12 times.
Well, they had the remixes.
The
exactly.
Dubstep remix. And
yeah, they had a bunch of different, there was probably a country remix.
With Toby Keith.
Yeah, with Toby Keith.
That was a good one.
And then, yeah, they've actually been consistently putting out albums. But
haven't heard them. See, that's your fault. They're indie now. They're reverse like Death Cab for Cutie. They went big and then went indie after that.
I'll stick with Green Day, thank you.
Yes, you will. That's the intro
song,
by the way.
Kryptonite was actually on their 2000 or their album released in the year 2000, The Better Life. So that's the last time Lindsay and I listened to
Kryptonite,
Three Doors Down.
I like to think there was at least one song I heard from him since then, but I really don't know. Also turning down Donald Trump, Katy Perry. No joke, of course. Like, why would he ever think she would do it? Bruno Mars.
I'm sure that he didn't ask them. I'm sure it was his team.
His team did, yeah.
His team was trying to find, like, popular artists.
Well, apparently, Donald Trump, one of his favorite artists is Elton John, and he really pushed hard for Elton John to appear. And Elton John's like, no.
He's barking up the wrong tree on that.
Mm-hmm. And then there were others, of course. But my favorite is Charlotte Church. Charlotte Church. You remember Charlotte Church?
No.
I feel like I should.
Foreign singer. She's really cute, and she's got a good voice. She tweeted a personal response to Trump that said a simple internet search would show, I think you're a tyrant. Bye.
All right, so going back to Three Doors Down again.
My God, more attention than Three Doors Down has gotten in years.
I went to Spotify, and the top five songs. Actually, once you hear the title of this, you'll be like, oh. They're number one, obviously.
Is it Desperate for Money? Then I get it.
Well, their number one, obviously, is Kryptonite.
Of course.
Their number two, Here Without You.
I like that song.
Yeah.
That's the song.
Everybody,
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's one of those ones. I knew as soon as I said it. When I'm Gone.
I like that one too. Yeah.
Yep. And then, It's Not My Time.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. How many of those are recent?
None of them is.
Yeah, I was about to say none of them.
I say at least three of those, I'm pretty sure, on the same album.
Cause, yeah.
That's 30 or four. Now that's what I call musics ago.
You know, I know, like, those songs, I remember them from dances in high school / middle school.
Like, way to make us feel old, Jesse.
What?
Speak for
you
yourself.
Said you also heard them in high school.
Well, yeah, like junior, senior year of high school.
Thanks to denial, I'm immortal.
Oh, and then their number 5 most popular song is an acoustic version of Kryptonite.
And then the reggae version. The dubstep.
And then the dance mix.
So at the concert, Donald Trump spoke, of course, and he said that, quote, his victory is, quote, a movement like we've never seen anywhere in the world.
Can we put the movement back away?
Isn't that, I mean, you know, we talk about how arrogant he is, but to say that this is a movement like we've never seen anywhere in the world.
And he says that days after Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Yes, with a straight face. He's saying this in the face of the civil rights movement, in countless, wars for freedom. You
arrogant
prick.
Piece of Cheeto dust.
He also told his supporters, you're not forgotten anymore. You're not forgotten anymore. Because he has to repeat every goddamn thing he says.
You absolutely are. I'm very sorry. If you haven't realized that by now, you have absolutely been forgotten.
Well, no, he's not talking to the supporters that, like, need a job.
Well, he's talking about the 1%.
He's talking about the outriders. He's talking about Breitbart and people like that. Of course, he didn't forget him. You know why? He gave them positions in his cabinet. That's directly who he's talking to right there.
In exchange for millions and millions of dollars.
And speaking of his cabinet, at a luncheon in his hotel earlier that day, Trump called his cabinet. He said his cabinet had, quote, by far the highest IQ of any cabinet ever. Which is completely unknowable. There's no way he researched that.
Plus, he's replacing a theoretical physicist. A man that's on the board to build the Dakota Pipeline.
I think what he meant by the highest IQ was the highest bank accounts.
Because money does not equal that is smart. Accurate.
Legitimately, his cabinet is richer than any. Yeah. Is, in history, I do believe. In history. Actor John Voight was also at the concert. Do you know who John Voight is?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you know who John Voight is, Lindsay?
I feel like I do.
It's Angelina Jolie's father.
Okay.
He's a good actor. He said, and I love this one, we have been witness to a barrage of propaganda that left us all breathless with anticipation, not knowing if God could reverse all the negative lies against Mr. Trump, whose only desire is to make America great again. He also said, God answered all of our prayers, because here it is, we will be part of history, all of us. John Voight, with a straight face, says that God has given us Donald Trump. Donald Trump, a man who has said he's never asked forgiveness from God for anything he's ever done.
So it's the apocalypse.
I don't know. I'm not involved with the apocalypse, per se. I know that Trump had Southern Baptist Reverend Robert Jeffress.
That's a mouthful.
Jeffress. He's a Southern Baptist pastor. He gave a private service for his family, or he's going to give a private service for his family before the inauguration. Now, if you don't know, Billy, this pastor in the past has referred to Mormonism as a cult. He called Islam and Mormonism heresies from the pit of hell, or said they were from the pit of hell, and accused Obama of paving the way for the Antichrist and said homosexuals live a filthy and miserable lifestyle. And he is going to be giving the prayer service for the Trumps, who Trump says, I love this guy.
Of course you do.
In relation to that particular man. So that's the guy God sent us.
Yeah, I don't know if you mentioned it, but he also actively and publicly loathes Muslims. I don't know if you mentioned that, but that's also a fun fact about
the
that guy.
The Reverend?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Okay. I was mostly paying attention. I was also very distracted.
Blinded by rage.
Well, no, it's not that. It's Billy playing, like, Super Mario Maker.
Billy is keeping me pretty zen, playing some Mario.
I don't want you to be zen. I need you to unleash the beast.
I've done that.
Come on,
Lex Luthor. We've done those shows.
Well, I wanted this to be a calmer, maybe more,
focused
and factual show. That's why I have notes for this one, unlike most of the ones we do. Let's talk about the inauguration tomorrow. I don't know what time it starts. I know it's definitely in the morning. A source involved with the Trump inauguration team told...
I think it's right at noon, central time.
If not a little bit earlier, with all of the grandstanding and you know what I mean? Like it's like the Super Bowl. Yeah, it's going to start at this time, but then you've got 3 hours, four hours of
pre-show. You've still got a couple weeks till the Super Bowl.
That's not what I was talking about. a source within the Trump team told the Huffington Post that the original plans for tomorrow's inauguration parade included tanks and missiles.
Oh, so he wants to be North Korea now.
He said, quote, they were legit thinking a Red Square / North Korea style parade.
No!
Jesus Christ, Lindsay.
Well, you wanted the rage.
I don't know how much of her rage is real, though, is the only problem.
That sounded
really
real. I
don't want to deal with this.
I mean, it was completely refused.
I like my world where I can ignore politics and watch cartoons.
I can't agree with
but
that.
But I can't ignore politics in this sense because they are going to completely explode in our face.
I mean, you voted.
Yeah, I did.
So you got your vote out. At least there's that. Trump will get 5 military flyovers.
He will.
One for each branch of the military.
Can one of them shoot him while they're at it?
There's no concentrated fire.
And I don't think we can say things like that anymore on the show.
Not yet.
Well, yeah, now he's actually, well, we can for another day. No, never mind. Yeah, he's already got Secret Service. So.
Yeah, like I'm fairly sure at this point
should
die is probably a bad idea.
We can say that we wouldn't be horrified if an accident were to occur.
I wouldn't be sad if one of the planes
accidentally
crashed into Donald Trump specifically.
And only Donald Trump.
And Mike Pence.
Everybody else.
And his cabinet. So they just have the entire Trump team up on stage. The guy's in the plane. He's playing Pokemon Go. And up in the air, he can get an Aerodactyl. And as he's hitting it, the plane goes to a nosedive and crashes into him.
What happens is he loses control because while he's trying to catch the Aerodactyl, the message pops up that asks if he's a passenger because he's moving too quickly.
and he hits, yes, I'm a passenger, and then it won't let him catch him anyway. He goes, God damn it, why'd you ask me if you're not going to let, and then boom.
Yep. That's what happened.
Yeah.
That's how it all went down.
I'd say, man, God maybe will answer our prayers, but according to John Boyd, he already did. He gave us Donald Trump.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of people were praying for Donald Trump. They didn't know what that meant.
A lot of people have prayed for a lot of things.
That's true.
It doesn't mean God answers. Jesse, did you know that a flyover hasn't been used since President Truman's inauguration in 1949?
I thought one has been used since then.
There have been,
cause didn't one of the Bushes have a flyover?
But it wasn't at the inauguration. It was at a pre-celebration before.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's nothing really wrong with having a flyover. They said it won't cost anything extra, because they have to do so many maneuvers as practice, per month.
So basically that's just,
this'll be it.
Yeah.
It's just gaudy. Again, it's just gaudy. This is Donald Trump who's going to be riding in on his, I assume, a carriage led by white stallions with hair.
Is he wanting to go back to the 1980s?
He's Zach Wilde.
No.
Like an Aqua Teen.
No.
Remember?
No.
But he's gonna go in and he's just gonna.
I need more blood.
He's gonna be bronze himself, like more so, like a bronze god. I wouldn't be surprised if he was naked.
I would. He wears that big tailored suit for a reason.
Someone, Emperor's New Clothes him.
I lost my train of thought there.
Sorry.
It's fine. Backlash against Trump's inauguration is the biggest it's ever been. There's protests right now going on all across the country. Celebrities are leading some of these protests in, I believe, either Washington or New York. And Jesse, do you think this is just people are poor losers? Or do you think they legitimately feel like this country is going to hell quickly? And the reason
I legitimately feel that our country is going to hell quickly.
Well, I do too, but the right will say that the people that are complaining about Trump winning, it's been all over the place. Put your big boy pants on. This is what some actual politicians have told other politicians from the right to the left. Put your big boy pants on, grow up, we accepted yours, you accept ours, that kind of stuff. And that's the feeling from the right.
Okay, so by, like, they accepted ours, are they talking about Obama?
Obama.
All right, so are they just completely ignoring the whole birther thing?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't answer for them.
Because that was definitely not just, like, the whole birther thing was definitely not just accepting our president.
Mm-mm.
They asked Priebus on, I don't know which show it was. They asked him about that. I think it was either Jake Tapper or it was a CNN show, I believe. But they asked him about that, and he said, well, this has been dead to Donald Trump for 2 years now. So why is that a big deal? And I think it was Seth Meyers that was like, you can't brag about that for 2 out of the 8 years.
You're right. That means for 6
we accepted it.
Years.
Yeah.
Yeah, he stopped when he had to start campaigning.
That's true. Yeah. And that's the big thing. He's like, he says it stopped 2 years ago. No, it stopped a couple of months ago when he was trying to get those extra votes. You know, he didn't want to seem too controversial. Never mind.
those words, silly thought.
Those words don't exist together very properly.
Well, he is an oxymoron.
He is. An
He's
oxy.
Some kind of moron.
Damn it, Jesse. Let me get to it.
I couldn't wait. I'm sorry. I was chomping at the bit.
This pissing contest between Republicans and Democrats, it sickens me to my core.
No,
it really does. It's so depressing to see. And that there are so many people that got to vote for the very first time. And this is the election they got to vote in.
They had a crap election to vote in.
Yeah, this is what they're going to think American politics are about. And I'm sad to say, I think that from now on, this may be what American politics are like.
It's just really, really unfortunate. And that's the other thing that's just really, really unfortunate about all this. Like, they have played the game perfectly where they have absolutely turned Democrats versus Democrats against Republicans. It's us versus them right now.
More so than it's ever been.
Meanwhile, you've got Trump and all of his buddies just making a fortune off of it. All the Republicans are distracted from everything that's going wrong. All the Democrats are just trying to get everything back in order and try to get back their system where they're making money.
I think it's not even entirely fair to say that the Republicans are distracted from what's going wrong. Because in the past week, 2 weeks, how many links have we gotten, legitimate stories from that legendary PZ85 chat talking about Republicans wanting to roll back Endangered Species Acts, them wanting to cut, I've heard them trying to cut Social Security.
No, I'm talking about the Republican voters that aren't paying attention.
Gotcha. I thought you were talking about Republicans themselves. Mm-hmm. Because the Republicans have set themselves up to put in every bullshit thing they've ever wanted to do but couldn't get away with because they knew they could be stopped. They can't be stopped
now.
It's
what the reality here is. It's big business versus everybody else.
And see, the thing is, they...
Swamp.
Yeah, there's a swamp.
Swamp.
So what I was getting
on
at...
On that game, make a swamp.
With a Squirtle.
Do it.
And then put a bunch of piranha plants. I don't know. So the problem is, like, the Republicans are now, the GOP is now this, like, supervillain organization. And they have gotten so good at making Republican voters and Democrat voters fight each other.
Yeah.
And then the Democrats are doing a terrible job at working this. You've got, like, Hillary Clinton calling millions of Americans deplorable. And I can't say that we're much better because we did the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
In retrospect, it was not a good plan for getting people to see the truth, but that's what we did. We made that mistake.
Yeah.
And so the Republican voters are so distracted with, like, how much they hate the Democrats that they're not paying attention to what their party is doing.
Mm-hmm. And you know, that is, you're hitting the nail right on the head. And my own personal feelings about the whole Democrats and Republicans thing is that growing up and now especially, the Republicans were always so aggressive. Like, I used to watch Fox News all the time, not because I was a big fan of Fox News, but I just like to watch different things and get an idea of what people are thinking. And there was a show on Fox News, you may remember it, called Hannity and Combs.
I do.
Starring just the deplorable Sean Hannity. Good question. Where the hell is Sean Hannity now? Like, he was Trump's right-hand man until they got elected. I haven't heard a single thing about him since.
He went to Guantanamo, so he couldn't talk. But yeah, nobody can ask Sean Hannity, because he'll tell the truth, maybe.
Even on that show... It's like Hannity was always this loudmouth, boisterous, your team sucks, you're all stupid, and Combs was so calm and reserved. It's like Republicans have always just been in your face, telling you how awful you are.
I mean, you add to that Rush Limbaugh, you add...
Glenn Beck.
Glenn Beck, you add O'Reilly.
Alex Jones. Like,
all these, they're very loud, boisterous, and just angry.
And on the other side, you've got the Democrats or the people that lean left, like Seth Meyers. You've got people like John Oliver. You've got
Jonathan Stewart.
Yeah.
Stephen Colbert.
And what are they? They're not in your face. They are just...
They're comedians.
Smart ass pricks is what they are. But who is America responding to better?
The smart ass pricks.
No. The loudmouth in your face, you're terrible people, because that's why we have President Trump.
Well, see, we thought that, and then that's what we became over, because so many times, like, we're definitely not in any way innocent on this show. Like, we became just these loudmouth in your face, like, you guys are stupid, you guys are terrible.
Vicious.
I can't believe that you are doing this.
Yeah.
And all this other stuff, like, we were legitimately angry and terrified, and still
what
are.
What do you mean were?
Angry, yeah, I was about to say, still are angry and terrified.
And we alienated friends, we alienated colleagues.
We did.
Like, we almost
certainly, we almost certainly alienated, like, listeners.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, like, that's what we became, and it didn't work.
No.
It just made them hate us even more than they ever have before.
Because we were hoping that they would see common sense and would realize what an awful thing that they were endorsing was, but they didn't. Instead, they just saw us being pissy at them. And your first instinct when someone is telling you you're wrong is to go, no, I'm right, you're wrong. And then they can become even more obsessed with this idea that they created, that Donald Trump is the savior of America, despite the fact having no plan on how to save America and instead existing only through sound bites and
Twitter,
repeated phrases in Twitter and social media and stuff like that. Yeah. It's terrible. And now, go ahead.
I was going to say, so I do want to apologize. I know none of those people are still listening, but maybe those people that are, that know someone that stopped, you know, let them know we're sorry. Like, we shouldn't have said horrible things about you. And
you're sorry.
We're not going to take it back, but we're sorry.
Because it's one of those things. Like, you got tricked. And you're realizing that now.
Here's what I'm sorry for. I'm sorry if ever anyone felt I insinuated that Republican voters that were voting for Trump were racist or backwater hillbillies. You know, the personal attacks. I do apologize for that. But I won't apologize for the fact that I thought you were wrong. I still think you're wrong.
Oh, no. I wasn't apologizing for that.
Okay. Just making sure.
Oh, no. I was apologizing for the direct insults.
Because we don't flip-flop on Podzilla. That's what Democrats do.
We still very much think that Trump is going to be a terrible president. We think that you made the wrong decision. We understand that it was your decision to make. I just wish that we had had the foresight to try and present an argument in such a way where you wouldn't continue to vote Trump.
A way that it's not insulting and maybe teaches you. But, you know, that's arrogant of us to say we're going to teach you, because I think that history will teach people.
Well, clearly people aren't paying attention to history.
No, we've never had anything like Donald Trump.
Heil.
Even Hitler, I think, is an unfair comparison. We've never had anything like Donald Trump before. Because, all right, here's where I'm going to get flack. And I was going to do the, I was really going to do the Saturday show this week and talk about Trump, the inauguration stuff. But I thought, you know what, we'll do it Thursday, because I think it's going to be more important the day before than doing it the day after. I don't think Trump is racist. Let me say that. I don't think Trump is racist.
He just wants more money.
I think Trump is greedy, yes, but there's nothing that I've seen.
I mean, I do think Trump is racist.
I don't. Like, if you ever talk to people that have interacted with Donald Trump, they'll tell you he's polite, he's nice. I don't think Trump's racist. I think Trump just says what he has to say to get elected.
You do realize that Trump got in trouble several times for not allowing black people to be anywhere near his hotels?
I need some proof on that before I can judge that.
No, that happened. I can actually.
I need some proof on
you.
That, because, like, if that's true, then okay, that'll change my mind. But I'm not gonna. I can't just take a word on it when someone says something like that, and it's not in my position to judge things that I don't have any idea about. Although that gets me in trouble too. That'll get me in trouble now. Jesus Christ, can't say anything without getting in trouble. Let's move on from this, and let's talk about this week in politics, the hearings, the nominations for the cabinet from Donald Trump. Lindsay, this is what I want to talk to you about, because I think some of the stuff we're going to talk about here is going to make you laugh.
I've heard bits and pieces of it just from browsing the internet, but
this is from CNN. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said Thursday that Democrats are only prepared to move ahead on two of President-elect Donald Trump's nominees on Inauguration Day, far below the seven that Trump's transition team had hoped for, which would match the number that President Barack Obama got approved for on his first Inauguration Day. So of all the people that have been at the hearings this week, only two of them are going to be pushed through automatically. And that's retired General James Mattis and John Kelly, who were nominated to run the Department of Defense and the Department of Homeland Security. Those two are in. Democrats don't have a problem with them, per se. Then there's the ones that are not.
Or they've at least made all their clearance checks and whatnot.
Well, not only that, but they're just, from what I understand, like, Mattis especially is a decent, respected military kind of guy. Like, he's legit. Then there's the ones that aren't legit, and we're going to talk about those. But Jesse, you're looking at me. You're looking at your phone.
Oh, I didn't.
You got something?
Yeah, I didn't know when you wanted me to.
Go ahead.
All right.
Before we get to the nomination stuff.
Gotcha. Yeah. In 1973, Trump, as a 27-year-old president of his father's realty company, Trump Management, it operated nearly 40 apartment buildings, mostly in New York City. Let's see. That year, the federal government filed a complaint against Trump, his father Fred Trump, and Trump Management. The complaint alleged that Trump's violated the Fair Housing Act, part of the Civil Rights Act of 1968, by discriminating against tenants and potential tenants based on their race.
What site is that from?
That is PolitiFact.
Okay. I like PolitiFact. Yep. So.
That was back in the 70s, and this is also the man that in the 80s said he had no political aspirations at all.
Yeah, we watched that today in the 80s special on
CNN,
on Netflix.
Which is fake news.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, I miss those days. I miss the days when Donald Trump was a joke from Seth Meyers. Donald Trump will be running as a Republican, which I assumed he was running as a joke. We've gone from that to this.
Yeah. Yeah, we have. So anyway, yeah, let's get on to the rest
nominations.
Of the cabinet.
Yes, please.
They have been a nightmare for the Republicans. And what's sad is they've been a nightmare for the Republicans with absolutely no chance of them not being confirmed. So they could have gone in there and said any dumbass thing they want, and it would not have mattered.
To be fair.
And some of them did.
I know, but I have to believe that at least some of the Republican Congress members be like, no, if we confirm this person, I almost certainly would not be reelected.
And I really hope that's true too, because there have been plenty of things that Democrats and Republicans have gone against their own party to agree or disagree with. In the thing we watched today about the 80s, you know, they talked about Ronald Reagan winning over, despite the fact that the Republicans had a minority in the House, he got things pushed through Democrats because he was just that good, as opposed to these people who are just that bad. So you would hope that there are definitely some Republicans that are going, I can't in good conscience vote for this person.
Even Reagan had members proposed for certain positions that ended up getting refused.
Oh, and that happens at every election cycle. Yeah, there are always going to be people that they don't want in. But it seems like nobody wants any of the Republicans that have been picked in there. The general feeling is that most of Trump's picks,
most of them have no business being there.
They have no position, business in the position they're nominated for, especially a guy like Rick Perry, who he called for the closure of the department he's going to be put in charge of.
Yep. That was actually one of his campaign promises.
The same department that he couldn't even remember the name of when he talked about closing it.
Is when he was running for, I don't remember what campaign it was, if it was, I want to say it was governor. But I might be wrong. Whenever he was running for governor, or maybe it was running for president, that was one of his promises, that he was going to close that department.
Yeah.
Like, that was one of the things he ran on.
And he couldn't remember the name of the department. He said education and, what's the third one? I can't remember it. Oops. He literally said oops. And now he's in charge of that department.
Wait, are you sure that, cause that also sounds like something that, Gary Johnson said.
No, that was most of what Gary Johnson said. Gary Johnson, name one living politician that you admire. I can't name any. I'm sorry. When I think about all the people I know that were such big Johnson supporters. And
honestly, like, really with Gary Johnson, just, I mean, we talked about this before, like, he gained a lot of popularity because he wasn't shown on the mic very often.
Yeah.
Like, whenever he got asked, like, whenever he got pressed for questions, like, got the hard questions, no.
Gary.
Bad.
Gary Johnson is the werewolf from Silver Bullet. As long as you don't see him, he's great. But the moment he's on screen, you go, oh, that looks terrible. That's the worst goddamn thing I've ever seen.
That is actually a fantastic comparison.
That is literally a guy in a bear suit. Thank you.
That was really good.
My favorite quote from the nomination stuff is Ben Carson. I know we're going to talk about Betsy DeVos here in a second.
Oh, God.
You know we are. But Ben Carson's my favorite. When asked if Ben Carson would assure the American people that not $1 will go to benefit either the president-elect or his family, do you know what Carson replied with?
I don't know.
Tell the folks, Shannon.
It will not be my intention to do anything to benefit any American.
Woo!
God damn it.
And what department is he in charge of?
Housing and urban development.
Uh-huh.
It will not be. And I know that's gotta be a slip of the tongue. But this guy is literally a brain surgeon.
Yeah, the funniest thing about that, so he is a brain surgeon. Do you remember what he was originally asked to be a cabinet member for?
I don't.
He was supposed to be the, now I forgot it. Oops. No, it's,
you know what though, Jesse? You're not up for a cabinet position.
I'm really not. No, it was the medicine. Like, he was supposed to
pharmaceuticals and whatnot?
Just
something to do with medicine because he was a doctor. Yeah. He was a brain surgeon.
It was supposed to be like
the FDA.
I just can't remember the exact name of the department because I'm brain farting right now. Mostly because of Mario Maker. I blame a lot of this on Mario Maker.
I blame a lot of this on Billy. This is his revenge.
this is revenge for messing me up.
So we'll call this episode Billy's Revenge. So who's sorry now, motherfucker?
But either way, yeah, no, he was whichever cabinet position that is, and I'll look it up to make sure I've got it right in a second. But yeah, he was actually asked to be in that position, and he said he wasn't qualified.
Yeah,
he's like, I've never been in a managerial position in any hospital or anything like that, so I'm not qualified. The man is a brain surgeon.
Yeah, he said that he has no he has no business like running government stuff because he doesn't have the qualifications for it.
So instead,
why did he agree?
So instead, he gets put in housing and urban development, if you don't think a brain surgeon is qualified for the cabinet involving hospitals, medicine, and healthcare, why should he be in housing and urban development? Is it because he's black?
It's like Walmart's running this. It's like when they put Bob in the house detergent department instead of something he knows anything about. They just throw, I feel like Donald Trump is just throwing people randomly. He's got a dartboard in his office.
No, it's not random. It's very planned.
Sometimes I feel like it can't be. Except in a case like somebody like Betsy DeVos.
Health and Human Services.
Yes.
That's the name of the one. Health and Human Services.
Which he wasn't qualified for.
He was not qualified for.
To be fair, he is qualified for housing and urban development. He does own a house.
He does own a house. That's not what housing and urban development is for.
Billy laughed. And then there's Betsy DeVos, who's up for the education position. And she couldn't even answer basic questions about education. And probably the most famous thing to come out of this entire nomination process, Senator Chris Murphy asked her whether she would agree that guns don't belong in schools. She said, and I quote, "I will refer back to Senator Enzi and the school he was talking about in Wyoming. I think probably there, I would imagine there is probably a gun in the school to protect from potential grizzlies."
So, fun fact, I don't know if you
aneurysm.
Watch...
Lindsay said aneurysm.
Lindsay's on the ground. There's she's bleeding from the nose.
Have you seen a bear turn a doorknob?
Okay, so I got two things with this. First, Trevor Noah, the man that replaced Jonathan Stewart on Comedy Central.
Yes. On The Daily Show.
On The Daily Show.
Good show. Best one.
Yeah, no, it's Trevor Noah's done a great job. It's fine. Like I think he's no Jonathan Stewart, but no man is.
Why do you keep calling him Jonathan Stewart? That's bothering me. Just call him John Stewart.
I don't know. Yeah. Fine,
it's
John
like
Stewart.
It's Asa getting upset for me saying Fushnikins over and over again. Hates that word.
I just like, maybe it's because of Johnny Atwood. I have to say
I was
Jonathan.
Thinking it was because of the Green Lantern. Every time you say John Stewart, you just think Green Lantern.
I do.
So you say
bit.
Jonathan Stewart and that separates. Okay.
So anyway, he actually called that school and asked them, "Do you have a gun for grizzlies?" Their response? "No, we have a fence."
Yeah.
That was their response. "No, we have a fence." And then like I'd seen this get posted on Reddit about the whole grizzly bear thing. The top comment was from someone that actually went to a high school where in a town where grizzly bears sightings are fairly common. And he said, "Do you know what we do in the grizzly bears been spotted?
You stay in the school.
They call animal control."
Control. Yeah, that too.
"They show up and they deal with the issue with bear spray." And the PE teacher does not grab the shotgun and go and take care of business.
I feel like we're just we're a step away from the Simpsons episode where the bear gets loose in Springfield and they get the bear patrol and they spend all the tax money to keep bears out of Springfield, despite the fact it was the only bear that had ever been seen. Oh, this transition team. Oh, my God. When questioned about proficiency of growth by Al Franken, she didn't know the difference.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
And she's going to lead the board.
My favorite response to that, did you actually see that?
I did, and it was rough.
Because
her entire hearing was rough.
Because
it was embarrassing.
He replies, "You know, I'm surprised. Actually, no, I'm not."
She
didn't know the difference.
The equivalent of him saying, "This is my shock face."
Yeah, great visual gag. Shannon's face didn't change.
No,
but yeah,
because
it was
does.
Like, so you've clearly never heard, or you clearly haven't heard of this proposal or this problem, which surprises me. Actually, no, it doesn't. And just, whoo!
Oh, they obliterated her. Did you see when Bernie Sanders asked her?
I did!
He's like, how much money has your family given to the Republican Party? And she didn't know. And he asked her, does around $200 million sound about right? Is that ballpark? And she goes, "Sure, sounds about right." Do you think you would be sitting there right now if your family hadn't given $200 million to the Republican Party? It was rough.
And
man.
She had no response.
They tore her apart.
And to be fair, Bernie was the last one to go. So he didn't like come out swinging for the fences after he realized, wow, this person is not only incompetent and or not only completely unqualified, but she is also not very bright and completely incompetent.
And, you know, part of the reason they were so rough with her especially was they were supposed to be given more time to question.
And oh, yeah. And she only got 5 minutes.
5 minutes apiece to
And then
to
they
limit.
Said they could not ask a second round of questions.
Yeah. So
because she's too dumb.
Democrat. She didn't even pass her ethics I don't know the exact name of it, but they have to pass a ethics something. I'm blanking on the term. And hers hadn't passed yet. So even before, they said she should not even be here talking to us when she hasn't passed that. And they did it anyway, told them you only have a limited amount of time to do it. And probably because of the reasons, the answers she gave, they knew she was going to get torn apart.
Oh, yeah.
And they were trying to do damage control. She had no understanding of the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, known as IDEA, which requires public schools to provide free and appropriate education to all students with disabilities.
She doesn't believe in public schools.
She wouldn't answer the question about, free tuition in college. She wouldn't answer many questions. Yeah, she didn't know.
Every answer that she gave was the super vague, like, overly political answer. Like, whenever they asked about anything federal, like, well, I think that should be left up to the states to decide. Like, it should be state to state.
Yeah.
And then, like, one of those questions in particular, going back to that Disabilities Act, she was asked...
By Tim Kaine, I think.
I think so. But she was asked by Tim Kaine whether or not, federal funding, like, this program that receives federal funding should apply, and she said, well, I think it should be made, that decision should be made at the state level. He's like, no, federal funding. State level. Federal funding.
He also asked her, so you could just take your kids from place to place, and if you don't like the way they treat them, take them somewhere else? That's how you're supposed to do it? She also said that when grilled on if she thought actions and words like Donald Trump had said in that infamous, what the hell was that show called? Access Hollywood tape? The grabber by the, if that was sexual harassment, if it would be something like that offensive, she said absolutely. So she basically confirmed that the person she was nominated by for his cabinet is a sexual predator. She confirmed that at this hearing. Good job.
To be fair, she confirmed that that act would be.
Well, they specifically said, like Donald Trump said, and she said yes. So good for her. Good on her.
She got one question right.
All right, we're out of time. We are actually out of time. I'm surprised because there's a couple things I wanted to talk about that we didn't get to, but we'll run over these real quick because I wanted to spend the last half of the show talking about President Obama and how I will legitimately miss the man and Joe Biden and the first family because what a classy
group of people.
First family, scandal free.
Yeah.
It was amazing. You mentioned PolitiFact earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I checked before I came here to the show. The PolitiFact truth meter has Obama because they tallied up everything he said. He is at 50%, almost 50% of either truthful or mostly true compared to Donald Trump, who's sitting right now at 70% of mostly false to pants on fire.
Sounds about right.
That's the president that is coming in. We're recording this as of 9:35 p.m. He will be president officially in just a couple of hours.
Did you see the his approval rating going in?
Yeah.
He's at 40% right now.
A notorious low. Whereas Obama entered, I believe, at 60-something percent.
Mm-hmm. And he's exiting, like, with a... like, I don't know what the actual number is,
I think,
honestly.
It's in the 60s. It's a high percentage.
Yeah, he's exiting well. And then you've got... All right, so at especially for our non-American listeners that may not know what we're talking about with this approval rating, just as a sort of a comparison. So George W. Bush, post-Katrina, had a higher approval rating than Donald Trump does right now.
Dang.
He didn't care about black people.
And I think 43%, I want to say, was what George Bush's approval rating was post-Katrina. That was the neat little fun fact I saw today.
And that's when I get such conflicting thoughts of, okay, with Obama having such a high approval rating, it seems like a lot of people were fans of Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't be fans of President Trump, who seems to want to dismantle everything Barack Obama created.
Yes.
Yet President Trump is the president and seems to be in such power that nothing can stop him at this point.
I mean, the majority didn't vote for him.
Doesn't matter.
I know. Still won. I'm just saying.
He said once upon a time, I could shoot someone in the middle of the street and wouldn't get in trouble for it. And I think he's right. So I don't understand how Barack Obama can be so beloved, but the Republicans will tell you he's the worst president of all time. Everything he did was a mistake. We have to fix everything he broke. And Donald Trump is the savior that God has given us.
And the problem is a lot of Republicans legitimately do see it that way, that Obama did nothing for them. Like, a lot of Americans just see, especially going back to those blue collar workers. And no, they are not the only group of people we should be focusing on and trying to help. I want to make sure that's clear because I know I'm talking about them a lot, but that group of people, they're the ones that every single one of them go out and vote.
Yeah.
And the problem is they have felt over the last 8 years their jobs are dwindling. The Affordable Health Care Act, for the majority of them, raised their insurance rates, so they had to pay more money.
And that's on my list of things to talk about was the Affordable Care Act. I had this whole thing of remembering Barack Obama and then a list of things that he did. Like, he eliminated bin Laden. Some people would say, well, he didn't kill him. Well, that's true. But you didn't win the World Series for your team. But you sure as shit celebrated with him, didn't you?
It happened under his administration.
It did. Yeah. He repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which was a terrible policy.
Yes.
We got legalized gay marriage in all states.
Yes.
Again, these things that we're talking about are things that those people that hate progression really hate came into play. And they want to repeal those things. Then the Affordable Care Act. I am not a fan of some of the stipulations. I don't like the fact that I'm being penalized for not having it. The fact that I don't have health care insurance is my decision. I'm the idiot that doesn't have it. It's all on me. It's like a seatbelt law. I should have the right to not wear a seatbelt. If I die, it's my fault. I get it. So I don't like that. But when you look at all of the people that have been helped by the Affordable Care Act,
because
it's worth it.
Because that was the whole reason that, because it's important to note that the Affordable Care Act, as it stands, was not how it was originally proposed. Obama didn't want to include a lot of the stuff that ended up making this awful. It's actually almost completely unrecognizable in its current form from what it was originally when it was proposed. The issue is, like, after lobbyists, the Congress got a hold of it and all this other stuff, the one thing that was absolutely non-negotiable was letting people with existing conditions get insurance. And this was supposed to be a bandage on this healthcare issue where people are dying because they can't afford to live.
Yep.
So they need insurance because without insurance, they can't afford life-saving procedures, medicine, etc. And if they have pre-existing conditions, the insurance companies wouldn't give them insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the big thing. And he put it through to get this bandage on it, to get it going.
And now they want to get rid of it.
They want to rip the bandage off.
Yeah. Did you see the town hall of Paul Ryan where the gentleman stood up and talked to him and talked about, I don't know if it was cancer or what he had that was wrong with him, but he said if it weren't, and he was a Republican, was the crazy part. He said, if it weren't for Obamacare, I wouldn't be here right now. So I want to say thank you to President Obama for saving my life. And what did Paul Ryan do? He kind of nodded and said, you know, then went on a tangent about how they're going to repeal it and replace it with something even better with
they want to repeal it first. And then that's just going to eliminate insurance because insurance companies are going to drop a lot of these people like hot potatoes.
Yep. They're going to get their,
as soon as they are no
their
longer,
rug ripped right out from under their feet, and it's not going to get replaced for at least 6 months, if not longer.
Well, they said they're going to
way longer.
Well, they said they're going to repeal and replace at the same time.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah. That's the goal. Yeah. Whether that happens or not, we will see. In fact, we're going to see a lot of things because tomorrow is the day. Tomorrow is the day that we've all dreaded. Not all of us. Some of you are actually very excited about this. I personally don't understand it. I look at car wrecks when
some
I drive by.
Some people just want to watch the world burn.
Yes.
I like watching candles burn. That's different.
There's a couple people I want to watch burn. And I'm sure, I have no doubt that if there is God, they will burn someday. So we're out of here. Tomorrow's the day. Hug your family tonight. Hug your dogs. Hug your cats. Hope for the best because this is it. This is it. This is the last show before Trump's regime takes over. So
we might be off the air soon. We'll get a letter.
Hold on to your butts.
Thank you guys for listening. God bless you, and God bless America.